You ready, Clark? The Culture Committee's back in session. The amendments have been handed out to committee members. We left off at section 13, Culture Donations. Is there any other action from the committee on this?
Chair.
Go ahead, Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you. If I may, I'd like to make a motion to amend on page 10, lines 457 under donations, insert Ralston's Women's Auxiliary for $1,200 and adjust the totals accordingly.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
There's a motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed? There is none. The amendment passes. Anything else, committee? If not, clerk, let the record show. Section 13 with the amendments has been reviewed. Moving on, section 36, historic preservation. Dr. Hunter. Dr. Hunter, go ahead. You have the floor, please.
Okay. All right. Thank you. I believe for our budget, there's only a few instances here where we see some changes in our budget that have been a bit challenging, a bit confusing in terms of trying to get the right amounts for our budget. One of those is in terms of our space cost, which almost doubled. Then the other instance of a concern for us is our tribal revenue that we are bringing in, which for the since COVID, with the federal legislation that occurred that provided for monies across the United States, including the infrastructure bill, we have seen a tremendous increase in the work that we're doing in terms of meeting our federal regulatory mandate, which we have been trying to set our tribal revenue to match the best we can the work that we're doing and the amount of money that we're bringing in. And for the last several years, I've tried to set it at $200,000 with no, with really no success. It's been set at $150,000 for the two previous fiscal years. For this coming fiscal year, it was set at $138,000. This fiscal year, 24, we are going to bring in over $400,000.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter. Go ahead, Congresswoman Rivard.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Hunter, welcome. I'm glad to see you today. When you do your budget and you submit it, I'm going back to how it, you know, it used to be done. When you meet with Treasury, it's at that time that you're saying, this is what I believe my program's going to do. And then is it the treasurer's recommendation that it's going to, you feel, or they feel it's going to look somewhat different?
Yes.
And then they submit it the way they see that it's going to look rather than the way you submitted it?
Yes.
Is there anyone, Rebecca, is there a reason why Treasury has reduced the amount of program income that Dr. Hunter believes that they're going to receive?
Yes, Treasurer Babson was pretty affirmative on keeping it where it is currently. It came down to an analysis at looking at when the revenue was recorded. During his analysis, the revenue was, majority of the revenue was being recorded in 1 month. Did not feel comfortable approving an increase without being able to see through the previous years, the revenue being recorded on a monthly basis. Additionally, I know there's a little bit of discrepancy of what we see as the revenue brought in and what the director sees currently. I just pulled it right before we came on here. And this could be a monthly closed deal. We have not closed the month for August, but currently I do see $227,000 in program income at the moment. But again, it's 9-9. Subject for there to be more revenue to come in, it is possible. But I just know that Treasurer Batson did not feel comfortable raising the amount without having the revenue recorded on a timely basis.
If I could respond to that.
Go ahead, Director Hunter.
Our work does not occur on a consistent month-to-month basis. Our work is generated from the outside, the federal agencies that are doing work, the transmission companies that are doing work. That is what generates our revenue. We have no control over it, of when it comes in and when the work is actually performed. We have submitted receipts that total $380,000 right now. That's lacking two more months of this fiscal year, which will take us over $400,000 for this fiscal year. And just to base, you know, our revenue on the fact that it doesn't come in on a monthly basis or on a timely basis according to the treasurer does not seem right to account for our budget and what we're bringing in, because we don't get that money. It was set at 150 last year, and it was reduced to 138 this year. And again, we're going to top over 400,000.
Go ahead, Congressman Big Horse.
Well, it sounds like to me that we're forecasting monies that might come in, and we're going to go ahead and appropriate those monies, whether they've come in or not. Is that what I'm hearing?
Go ahead, Ms. Moatalla, and also Dr. Hunter.
Yes, that is what is occurring. We're forecasting of what money may come in. That is correct. Yes.
Go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
Well, I think if you look at the money that we're bringing in since COVID, I mean, COVID shut everything down. And we struggled with the former treasurer trying to convince them that you couldn't base our money, our revenue money, on the years that COVID existed. I mean, that took us backwards when that was occurring. And then after COVID, now we've got this whole influx of new revenue that's coming in that we can't seem to get accounted for in our budget to, for instance, replace the vehicles that we're using to generate this income, or even benefit in any way from this money. It's all going back to the treasurer. I mean, it was set at a 150 last year. And again, you know, I've submitted invoices to our, you know, contractors that are at a 380 something right now. And that's minus August and September, which I will bill for. It will have to be the end of the 1st of October. because I can't bill for it until we've done the work.
Go ahead, Congressman Bughorse.
Well, it just seems like to me that we're trying to appropriate monies that have not come in yet. And in my way of thinking, we don't spend money unless we have it in hand. At least that's the way I run my household.
I don't know how to address that. That the money comes in and it goes to the treasurer. It doesn't come to us who generated the money.
Chair.
Yes, go ahead, Ms. Momotala.
So when we appropriate a budget and there's program income and we go through an audit, we apply the program income first before we apply the income from an appropriation. So in this instance, tribal income. So if we had a budget that was $500,000 and we had a program income of $100,000 in that budget, if we spent $400,000 in that budget, we would apply that $100,000 first. So that program does use their program income that comes in, and the rest of the remaining funds fall back into retained revenue.
Thank you. Is there anyone else on the committee? Go ahead, Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you. Well, looking at your July financials, your statement of revenue and expenditures, it looks like you have about $645,000 unspent funds. It's like you have we have August, September, two more months. It looks like you have about 25% of your salaries. I mean, you've budgeted well. The only deficit I see maybe is in occupancy, which I do think is a cost that the programs do not, they don't have a, you know, they can't manage that other than be charged that because it's an internal fund. And I believe this year I understand that all the budgets have been amended to reflect a new space cost. Rent, I do think that's incredibly high for definitely what your living conditions are. If that were mine and I could see that, I'd be like, oh my goodness, you could probably rent somebody where else and it would look a lot better. I believe the area that you work in and all the folks in this building above us, it's kind of pitiful. The conditions aren't very well, but to see that increase in space cost for rent, you would think that the property improvement would come along with that. I'm not seeing it yet, but we're trying to get there. But I do see that you are one of the directors that manage your budget well, and I'll give you credit. I've known you a long time and that you do. I also know that this discussion comes up every year, and every year you're right on target, not Treasury. I can see that because based on, I deal in facts, the actual show you're making the income. And so again, it's projected. And so I don't really want to, it's good news to say that we budgeted this amount and we received more, but I want to, congratulate you on managing your budget as well as you have for many years. And you're one of the budgets that, I don't worry about because I know that you manage it properly. I don't know that we can do anything about your program income at this time. It's connected to our projected revenue resolution. We use it to project what we see coming in forward in totality. So when we do address that, I'll make sure we look at it again. It just won't be in this programmatic sense. It will be through the big picture of projected revenue because it is included. Your income is not restricted. And I think that's the what we hear from most directors is the same. I'm bringing in that money, but I'm not seeing it because it's going back to the general treasury, and you're correct in that. But at this time, your income is not restricted to your program. And you and a lot of other programs. That's just the way that it is. Right now, there's only certain programs they restrict the income to, and for whatever reason, you're not one of them.
Thank you. Does anyone else on the committee have anything for Dr. Hunter?
Mr. Chairman?
Go ahead, Dr. Hunter.
So then, if this is what we're going to be set at, this 138, then this coming year when we reach 138, then we'll stop. Meaning we'll stop protecting our cultural resources when we hit 138.
Yeah, Dr. Hunter, I see your point, but like Congresswoman Rivard said, it seems like the crux of the dispute is between your department and the Treasury. I'm not sure. Does the committee see what she's saying? Understand what she's saying? They're basically undercutting her budget with the income the Treasury's showing they bring in. Go ahead, Congresswoman Rivard.
Well, it's not, what I see in the big picture is that when you undercut program income, that it increases the tribal request. And as Congress folks, that's what I'm looking at. I would love to be like, jump that up to 400 and reduce the request, but that's not what Treasury is saying. Treasury's not seeing it that way, and I'm not. This is what's been presented. I agree with Dr. Hunter. I would, if it were my program, I'd want to see my income. If I hit that, if I'm saying this is me estimating what I'm going to do, then I'm asking, you know, Treasury to fall in line, but they're not. And this comes up every year. We're going to hear this with the Gaming Commission. Most of these programs that come down here say, I'm hitting my revenue. Why aren't you acknowledging and why aren't you reflecting that? But they don't want to. But I also can see on the treasurer side, let's be modest in what we're projecting. That's, you know, what I'm seeing. This is a every year conversation, and I can see both sides. I'm more concerned about the space cost than I am her program income. I know she's going to hit that. I'm not worried about that.
Chair.
Go ahead, Ms. Mawatala.
The space cost, Nana, you mentioned this earlier about us fixing all of the space cost expenditure areas within the budgets for fiscal year 24. When I went through and I looked at all of the budgets, what they had left to spend, that's where I updated it. Some we did need to come down and bring and request it. The space costs, quote unquote, never technically increased. They weren't being charged what the actual space cost was. And this was an issue even before I took this position. And so what I did in 24 was try to get everybody at the actual space cost they're supposed to be charged, because we were running a little behind in our revenues and space cost recoveries. That is where the space cost issue is coming from. So for fiscal year 25 and every budget across the board and working with Tribal Works, I was able to get the actual figures that are supposed to be charged to each program. So yes, it may appear as an increase, but this is what was supposed to be charged the entire time. And I absolutely sympathize and understand, you know, the look of the building and those things, but I just wanted to reiterate that it wasn't increased. It's just the department was never charged the actual amount it was supposed to be charged.
Thanks for the clarification. Anyone else on the committee have anything for Dr. Hunter? Go ahead, Congresswoman Rivard.
Well, and it maybe not with Dr. Hunter, but who's in charge of our space cost?
Ms. Mawatala.
Edward Zahn.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Does anyone else have anything? Mr. George Stabler is recognized. Go ahead, George.
Mr. Chairman, I'm George Stabler, Chairman of the TCA Committee. And we've heard these discussions before. And we're talking, you mentioned something about the borough is one of the most important things that we fund. I believe this is one of the most important. We're talking about our ancestors and artifacts that we're trying to get back to our people. And I realized that maybe the money hasn't come in. I used to work for a big company in corporate accounting. We spent millions of dollars without even knowing if we'd get it back. But we made billions. I mean, our income's billions. But we put the money out first because we knew it was something going to good come from it. And I have a lot of respect for Clark. He's one of my friends. But at the same time, the money that she's asking is not very much for what we make. And it's for a good cause for our ancestors or our Osage tribe. Because what they're doing, people are fighting against us. They don't want us to have some of this stuff back. And they're having to fight people for that and go out and do things that, you know, a lot of people don't want us to be doing. So I just want to say that much. When they cut the budget like they're saying, they're making the money, it's going to be put to good use for culture. I mean, I can understand Osage casino culture, but that's not my culture. These artifacts and different things are culture, and I believe we should try to fund that type of situation. So I just have that little bit to say because, you know, I've been on that committee for a little while. I see all the work they do. And I understand it's easy to cut back on something like this. But, you know, the ones that are probably doing it don't realize what they actually do and how they go about their job. So I want to say that a little bit. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Does anyone else have anything for Dr. Hunter or just in general?
Mr. Chair.
Go ahead, Congresswoman Rivard, and then go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Mr. or Ms. Rebecca, could you maybe reach out to the treasurer and just let him know what the comments are and if he would like to, you know, think about it a little bit more and we can amend it if we need to. But, you know, you may want to share the comments with him, please. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Go ahead, Mr. Frazier.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just for some clarification, this budget is not being reduced in fiscal year 25. It's actually set to increase by just over 8%. And since I got here in 2020, it's increased by 63%. It's one of the fastest growing budgets in the executive branch. So I just want to be clear that this budget is not being reduced. It's actually being increased. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. If no one else has anything, let the record show. Section 36, historic preservation, has been reviewed. Oh. Congressman Hamilton.
This is for my notes. Dr. Hunter, what would be a number you mentioned earlier? What would be a number that you'd be comfortable with in that line?
200,000.
Okay, that's the only question I had. Thanks.
Thank you, Dr. Hunter. Moving on to Section 41, the Language Department. Go ahead. We have Director Braxton Redigal. Go ahead, sir. You have the floor.
So as you guys know, we're about to start up our classes again, and we have already started the high school classes. Just for those who aren't familiar, we have quite a bit that we actually do. I don't know if a lot of people know what we do. We do more than just teaching classes, but even the classes that we do teach, there's really a lot to it. We have approximately 20 community classes. We are in 5 of the public schools. We are working with the DePoscas in the early childhood and their elementary, and all the Wheeler sites as well. We also, on top of that, are constantly doing research, trying to create resources. We fulfill translation requests. We put the orthography out there quite a bit. We have all the signage, everything goes through us. We got translations coming in from the public and from outside entities. And then, as you know, a good chunk of our efforts over the past couple of years have been through the ARPA funding, and we've done quite a bit through that as well. And I gave an update on that, did the presentation of one of the projects, and then we were in here just the other day talking about funding of those projects as well. So we are doing quite a bit. The only thing with our budget that is a pretty significant change is to address specifically the project that we demonstrated for you guys here. There's a maintenance and onboarding and different things that go along with that kind of technology, and that's the most significant thing that we've added in there, professional fees, and also to include the Osage Books app. We're trying to build a Osage library. Right now it's the Coyote and the Bear. We have two more books that are going to be finished here in the coming months. We're wanting to continue on with that and add a couple more books into it, and a whole list of other books that are going to come out of the ARPA funds, or the ARPA projects, excuse me. So hopefully in the Osage Books we'll have several books in there here pretty soon. I'd say within the next year. So that's the kind of extent of what we're doing, and the thing that I would draw attention to in the budget specifically.
I'm taking over the chair for until chair gets back. Do we have any questions for Mr. Riegel? Congresswoman Riegel?
Yes, thank you, Chair. So in your current, the financials we received at the end of July show that you've spent about 1.3 this year, but you're requesting 2.3. And so there's a little bit that shows about an unspan of about $766,000. So I'm wondering why the increase in this year, if the amount spent last year is different, what is it that you think will change in that?
The added professional fees are pretty significant. That's in that specifically. The only other thing I think of that we typically don't or haven't been able to spend much of was the vehicle charges that were associated with getting another vehicle. We got that approved a while back, but it's taking almost 2 years for us to actually get a vehicle. So we just recently got that. But if that's... But that's the, those are the only things I could think of. Oh, GSA, sorry. Yeah, GSA.
I feel, or Chair, if I may, I was just thinking about with your expenses, it just looks like you're not spending this year that matches close to the request this year. So what is it that's going to change? It's almost, it's a huge, I know you're saying like compared to last year, but I'm saying you're spending, your burn rate is only about 700, and you still have about 766,000 available through the end of September 30. So it looks like you're going to have a lot of money you're going to return to Treasury. And so I'm just curious why I would think that this budget would go down. And if not, is there something huge coming along in your professional fees or your travel that looks different than last year?
Like I said, the only thing I can think of that's pretty significant is the technology pieces that are in there. Other than that, if we have the actual expenditures, when I put together the budget, I try to get as close as I can to the actual trended marks that are provided by Treasury. So I know I did reduce quite a few different lines. So in the hash of it, without looking at the actuals, I couldn't say specifically, but I go from the trendeds in here, and then I put in the things that I needed for the professional fees specifically.
Uh,
The only other thing I can think of that too would be potentially the if there's salaries line, because we do have a couple positions that we need to fill, and one of those is a pretty significant position that's been empty for a few months now too. So that could be two other things that are playing into that.
Councilman Rebar, does that answer your question?
Yeah, it does, and thank you. I know that you know what I'm saying. I know
right,
you're another director that manages their budget and their financials very well. So that's why I was curious, because your burn rate doesn't match the ask. And so, but that we're looking at financials from the end of July. And I also know just what you said. I can see that there's some vacancies in your annual plan. There's some positions that haven't been filled. And so I was just, and also what you said, we're seeing a lot of programs come to us this first year without any ARPA, without any without any other support other than tribal dollars again, I believe. So
yeah,
I think you're wrapping that up. I don't have an issue with the request. I'm just wondering if there's, I just thought it may come in a lot lower than what it came in. I'm not questioning what it is you think, that you guys are going to do, because you do a great job. I was just thinking, compared to your burn rate, it didn't match up.
Yeah.
Thank you. Let the record show. The chair's back. Are we still on Section 41 language? Does anyone else from the committee have any questions for Director Radical? Okay, let the record show. Section 41 language has been reviewed. Moving on to Section 44, the Osage Nation Museum. We have the Director Redcorn. Go ahead, ma'am, you have the floor.
Thank you. One second, please. Good morning, everyone. My name is Marla Redcorn Miller, and just wanted to go over the plans for this year, this coming year, FY25. We have a great deal of things that are kind of interconnected. So everything that we've done in the annual plan is structured so they're mutually supportive of getting us eventually one day towards having a new space in a museum, but also taking care of the daily operations of the things that we continue to do. So in the first, one of the goals, our first goal that we have is to collaborate with the Historic Preservation Office on a 200th anniversary exhibition with the treaty with the Osage in 1825. And the second goal is to develop and deliver public programs that support the collections and also support the exhibition that we have up. And some of the activities include a reading group on A Pipe for February with Catherine Redcorn, a Veterans Appreciation Reception. We are doing the facilitation of that and support for the Veterans Memorial Commission, and also supportive programs for Treaty with the Osage. And then, of course, we spoke about the other day with ARPA, the receptions for Gray Horse and Hominy. We are also moving ahead with the completed baseline inventory of the 3D pieces. We applied to the Luce Foundation for support of that. This time we are bringing in, we're hoping to bring in a museum consulting firm to do that. It'll be the intellectual content part of that, which is looking at traditional ways of Osage ways, traditional care practices for these pieces. And I'll be doing that part, working with an Osage advisory team. And Hallie Winter is going to be working with the firm to do the actual baseline inventory of those objects. And then we're doing pre-planning, and we're pre-planning for an archive inventory and a photograph inventory. The goal four is to execute the exhibit planning phase for the reinstallation of the East and West galleries, which will be a complete redesign of those spaces. We're gonna be using ARPA funds for that. And it would be like a pilot for when we eventually go into the new space. And major activities for that is getting an exhibit designer in place and the co-curators. And we are planning on applying for funding for the fabrication of that. So this is the planning phase. When we get to the next year and we get to the fabrication part, we will be looking for funds, outside funding, to support this project. We've started investigating the grants and funding agencies that we'd like to reach out to. Also, the completion of the 2229 digitization project, which will be a resource for our people to go in, our research citizens to go in at the museum and look up things at a research carol. And like I said, these are mutually supportive things. It will be integrated into the Wajaji permanent exhibit and the redesign. So we're trying to bring all of these things that kind of all are mutually coordinated together. And then we also want to initiate a complete concept and schematic design phases for the renovation expansion of the museum. Depending on, I mean, there are issues and things that we need to work through. I know that there's Secretary Bighorst said that we're going to convene after the session so that we can look at how these projects, the Heritage Center and the museum, are going to be coordinated together. So, but we put that on our list. So wherever we come in that place and however we come in that space, we'll continue to work on that, you know, helping with it. And as saying how these things are integrated and how they support each other, the inventories and the exhibition and our major projects for this coming year are really setting the stage for the research about space allocation and flow. So as we get the space allocation that we need in storage, and then the flow that we might need in storage, and then the exhibition themes, like I said in the ARBOR meeting the other day, is we're testing out these ideas to see how receptive people are and what they might want to see more of. And then when we expand those out into the new space, we'll be looking at those things too. So we bring on an evaluator and things like that in that program. Then the final is we are doing a 5-year strategic plan for 2025 to 2030. And at the end of this fiscal year, we're doing institutional planning. We're having a retreat where we go in, we have an outside facilitator come in. We have an updated vision, goals, and objectives for these so that we're connecting these things with our Wajaji ways, our ways, and our culture and our values. We've been working with under the guidance of elders to help develop those out. We're going to be looking at them very closely at the end of this month. And after we finalize those updated mission and objectives through the fall, we're going to work on a strategic plan for the next 5 years, assuring that these ideas and these concepts that people want to see, OCG citizens want to see within these spaces and what they support, will be part integrated into our program in a specific way, almost like standards and benchmarks of schools. You know, it would be standards and benchmarks for our museum to make sure that we hit those targets for those things. Thank you.
Thank you. The chair just wants to notice that we're supposed to end at noon. We can go ahead and extend maybe 5, at the max 10 minutes. So thanks again, Director Redcorn. Does anyone have anyone on the committee have questions about the museum budget? Go ahead. Go ahead, Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you. And I'm going to bring up the same as we move through these budgets that it looks like the museum is asking for a little over $100,000 as an increase from last year. Their budget, back to the same. It's kind of the budget they had last year was about $804,000. Currently, they've only spent $535,000, so they have available about $268,000. And so, again, the burn isn't matching the request. And so I don't know what the difference would be, because again, this didn't change, but even though they were offset with some of their projects with ARPA dollars, so I'm assuming the 100,000 is gonna be to kind of absorb some of those non-tribal funds that they've received, have been able to use. I do have a question on the building behind the museum.
Yes.
That's the office space for you now?
Yes.
How did you purchase that?
That was purchased through an appropriation of a session supported by Congress in special session.
Was that through through ARPA?
No, it was under capital assets.
Okay, I was just trying to, I wanted to make sure, so that's done.
It's being installed currently right now.
Okay.
And if Ma'am, may I address some of those questions you have in a minute?
Yes, one of the cost of you to have that. Is that absorbed in here, the extra cost to operate another smaller?
Yes, okay. It is. All right, so there's an increase in copiers. We have we have to include some photocopiers, insurance for that building as well. And also we're using for object prep for ARPA funds, we have positions coming in that are going to help assist us in all of these areas. So, and these are, you know, in the archive and the photographs, and also bringing in that firm for the 3D. So it's through those spaces that I think that we're going to be able to move forward in terms of expenditures of these things.
Thank you. Does anyone else on the committee have anything? Go ahead, Congressman Hamilton.
I see you got two positions that are new: collections assistant and administrative assistant. Are you fully staffed currently?
We do not have the genealogist, and we don't have space. And the reason that we don't have that person on board, and we have those funds that weren't expended for that position, is because of the space where we're pretty crammed where we are right now. We've been able to, once we get that new building in, we will have space for that, for those positions.
Thank you. Does anyone else have any questions for Director Redcorn? If not, let the record show. Section 44 of the museum has been reviewed. Moving on, let's go ahead and cut down to section 68, the Tribal Cultural Advisory Committee. Mr. Stabler, if you could address us, please. Thank you.
First of all, you have the name wrong. It's Traditional Cultural Advisors Committee. If you wouldn't mind changing that on your documents. It's what it's always been called. So, other than that, do you have any questions for me?
Thank you, sir. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. George Taylor?
I'll just have comment.
Go ahead, Congresswoman Rivard.
Yes, thank you. We draft our bill and legislation as it's sent down from Treasury, from the executive branch. We follow the title that they use, but we'll get that addressed most certainly. This again is a bill or a request that again takes care of their travel, some small amount of IDC and stipend for the actual board. How many board members do you guys currently have?
We have nine.
Nine. And
according to the last year's budget, I think we underspent, but we only had six for probably 5-6 months of that time.
Okay, so this amount then will take care of everybody's stipend that's...
Yes.
Okay, all right. I want to make sure. Mm-hmm. I remember you guys didn't have the full amount, so... Thank you.
Go ahead, Congressman Hamilton.
What about travel? Is that going to be enough for nine?
Yeah. I think some travel is covered with... different organizations, I believe. I'm not positive, but, you know, they help out.
Thank you. Does anyone else have anything for Mr. Stabler? Okay. Thanks, Mr. Stabler, for coming down.
Yeah, thank you.
Let the record show section 68, the Traditional Cultural Advisors Committee has been reviewed. Moving on, section 64, Sovereignty Day. Please, committee, review this.
Chair, I think the Sovereignty Day, they have a little increase from last year. Do you know what that is, Budget Analyst Frazier? I feel like from last year, they stated there was an increase this year, which I totally support, but that's just me.
Chair, This is Andrea Kimball.
Yes, go ahead, Director Kimball.
Thank you all. I am a member of the Sovereignty Day Celebration Planning Committee, and we did submit a budget and an increase of $15,000 from last year's $25,000 to total $40,000 this year. So those funds we're asking for is to host several additional events. So the Planning Committee wants to expand. Last year, we were able to expand with them about four additional activities for Osages to participate here locally. And then, of course, we have the celebration dance. This last year, we had it in Tulsa at the Tulsa Casino and venue there. We do seek a sponsorship from the Osage Casino to help supplement this budget. It's always conditional. They have been able to help us out in the past, but we feel that with this budget request, we would be able to fully fund some of the additional activities. And just so you know, or a reminder, you know, this last year we had a fun run and fun walk here on campus, and it was our first time with that event, and we feel we had a good turnout. We also had a hand game out here to Wake and Iron for members and a meal. We also had a museum exhibition, Miss Redcorn and her team helped us with that event. And then we also collaborated with the Osage News on the red carpet event here during the Oscars, I believe. And so we thought that was good, you know, for that year. And so this next year, we want to add additional activities, target a little bit more on youth and elders, you know, and see if we can get the youth and younger people, younger Osages, more involved in this celebration. We had guest speakers at each of those events that talked about our government and our sovereignty. So we feel pretty good about those events, and we want to expand more in this next year. So that's why you have this budget in front of you. Thank you.
Thanks, Director Kimball. Go ahead, Congressman Maker.
Thank you, Mr. Kimball. Is there any plans to increase the number of days of our sovereignty celebration in the future? Or is it going to stay like it is right now?
Thank you, Congressman Maker. Yes, this next year in 25, we're looking for a week up to the dance, and the dance being the grand finale, but to host something. And we plan to move into other communities as well, so that it's not all hosted in Pawhuska. We'd like to host something there in the Gray Horse and Hominy districts as well. But yes, additional days and additional events.
Thanks, Director Kimball. And I just want to say I participated in the fun run and the celebration dance, and you guys did a really great job. It was a really keen experience. And I know Congresswoman Rivard's always been an advocate of making it a whole week of celebrating our sovereignty. So it's really great to hear that we're moving forward with that. So thank you. Does anyone else from the committee have anything?
Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to leave with comment and thank the committee. This is, I just appreciate the executive branch, you know, listening. I'm not saying that my vision is a good one, but I just feel that I love our dance, but I know that we could do more to educate our younger folks and utilize our elders that are here by educating them about our treaties, about the 1906 Act, about how our government works, and to celebrate. And I thought they did a great job. Hank Powell did a wonderful job with the run last year, and the team and the hand game, and everything was so wonderful. But it felt good that all of us were together and we were talking about sovereignty issues, and it sparked a lot of conversation. And I appreciate Terry Mason Moore and all of these folks. I think Mr. Pipestem spoke about different treaties and our 1906, all of these wonderful subject matters that are important to our folks. And I just want to commend the committee for a job well done again. And it's a lot, but thank you. We appreciate you guys.
Thank you, Congresswoman Rivard. If there's no other questions, the chair will entertain a motion on this section. Let the record show we have reviewed Section 64, the Sovereignty Day. Moving on, the chair will entertain a motion.
Chairman.
Go ahead, Congressman Maker.
I have something for the committee. I would like to, if we could at this time, go back to Section 13, cultural donations. I had an amendment that was just now have it ready to go.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay, page 10, lines 447, under donations, insert American Legion Post 142 and $12,000.
There's a motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Go ahead, Congressman Hamilton.
How much is this? Did you want to do this for?
$12,000.
And who's it going to again?
For the Hominy Post 142 American Legion.
Okay.
Motion and a second. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? There is none. The amendment passes. Okay, Clerk, point of order. We only have like a minute or two left. Should we go ahead and move to report the sections out, or should we just go ahead and try to get Anita Fields through the committee right now and then come back and do the motion for the sections?
I would make the motion to report it out or postpone it, whichever one. I would make that first.
Okay, check your email. Chair will entertain a motion to move on the sections for ONCA 2473. I'll entertain a motion. Go ahead, committee.
Chairman, I have a question. So do you want a motion to report these out? But these are part of the big bill, so do we do that now, or do we wait until we do the big bill?
Go ahead, Congressman Hamilton.
I make a motion to report out ONCA 2473, sections 9, 12, 13, 36, 41, 44, 64, and 68 to Congress, with a due pass with amendments recommendation.
Second.
There's a motion and a second to report out ONCA 2473, sections 9, 12, 13, 36, 41, 44, 64, and 68 to Congress with due pass recommendations with amendments recommendation. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
Any opposed? There is none. Motion carries. Moving on, last agenda item, consideration of executive appointee Anita Fields. Chair, will entertain a motion. Go ahead, Congresswoman Rivard.
Okay, Chair, just wanted to make sure that everybody's aware. So this particular appointee will be moving from, I think it's the election board, to our traditional cultural advisories committee. So I just wanted everybody to make sure that they understand that.
Chair, will entertain a motion. Chair will entertain the motion that Anita Fields is qualified by education and experience and there are no legal or ethical barriers to service.
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor say yes.
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 Any opposed? There is none. Motion carries. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Nope.
Chair, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
There's a motion and a second to adjourn. All those in favor say yes.
Yes.
We are adjourned. Thank you.